The psalmist says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Every passing day pours out speech, every night reveals knowledge. And how much more clearly we know him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who we gather to praise together this morning. Please be seated. Well, friends, indeed, the creation does declare the glories of God, and so do we as we join in singing our first hymn, From All That Dwell Below the Skies. Let's stand and sing. Please be seated. A very warm welcome to you this morning. Thanks for joining us here at Scots Church in the heart of the beautiful city of Melbourne. And welcome too if you're joining us live on YouTube live stream this morning. If you're new to Scots, we would love it if you could take a moment to introduce yourself on one of these introduction cards. We would love to use that to help make you welcome at Scots. Do join us afterwards too for a cuppa and a chat over at the mezzanine level in the Westpac building behind me. Next Saturday, of course, is Remembrance Day, and we will be hosting members of the 6th Scottish Regiment for a service at the memorial in front of the church. We would love it if you were free to join in with that. And of course, then Sunday is Cantata Sunday, and we'll have a brief Remembrance Day commemoration then too. Coming up on the 19th is our next Mission Partnership Awareness Lunch, this time with a focus on Japan. It's right after our 11 a.m. service on the 19th, so please save the date and plan to stay and join us for lunch. Now, the annual election of managers to fill positions on the Board of Management will be held during the month of November. Nominations close at 8 p.m. on the 26th, and nomination forms have been posted to our members. A warm welcome to our guest preacher today, Dr. Murray Capel, who apart from being Dean of Ministry Development, I think it is, at the Reformed Theological College, is highly regarded as a preacher and a conference speaker all around Australia and beyond. In fact, you might pick up a little New Zealand accent if you listen carefully. Murray's the author of a number of books, and I've known his reputation for years now, so it is a great honour to have him in the pulpit here at Scots this morning. Welcome to Reverend Douglas Robertson, my predecessor, and Alison, who are with us from Scotland here this morning. Well, after all those announcements, time to sing again, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Please be seated, and I'll invite you now to bow and join me in prayer. King of heaven, master of all creation, as those who are frail as summer flowers gathered to sing your praises this morning, we do so with humble confidence. Not a confidence in our own strength or righteousness, but in yours. Knowing that as part of your creation, you made us living, breathing, knowing in your very image. And that even though in our first father and our earthly forefathers ever since, we are inclined to proud rebellion, that even though we willfully suppress the truth of creation's song, You have stepped into that creation in the person of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That you have redeemed us from the power of sin and death by his sinless death on our behalf. Father, give us fresh ears to hear today and voices to declare your praise. We ask in Jesus' name, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. It was good to hear those basses getting a workout this morning, wasn't it? We're going to sing again now in a moment. This is the time, I should mention, for any Sunday school kids hiding away there to meet our teachers at the back and head to Sunday school. And this will be the offertory hymn, Lord, Speak to Me. Let's stand and sing together.
Please be seated. Let us now join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise and give you thanks for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we worship, praise, and give thanks. Your glory fills the heavens, and all that you have made bears your mark. We are grateful for the sacrifice of your Son on the cross of Calvary. And we believe that through faith, he died, was buried, and resurrected to life. And thank you for reconciling us with God through faith in Christ, and for the promise of salvation and eternal life. We are grateful for your living word and the gospel of Jesus Christ, our King of glory, reaching out to all humankind. Loving God, we pray for your church, locally and globally, to remain faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. May your church be strengthened by Christ's presence, wisdom, guidance, protection, and peace. We also pray for the persecuted churches, especially in India and around the world. May the faith of your children in Jesus be strengthened so they can spread the good news with confidence. Let their enemies know and come to know Jesus through their unwavering faith, hope, and prayers, and they will be blessed with salvation. Gracious God, we are grateful for the presence of Dr. Mary Keppel among us, and we ask for your guidance with open hearts and minds as we listen to your word and follow your will. And thank you for your word, that you would help us to read and meditate on it day and night and never be ashamed of the good news. And it is your power of salvation for all who believe in the Redeemer of Christ. Loving God, bless Mary, his ministry, his family and future endeavors for the glory of Christ. Father in heaven, thank you for continuing to strengthen our senior minister, Reverend Phil Campbell, and his wife, Lois Campbell. Thank you for bringing them to health again, and may they be blessed with renewed health and a fruitful ministry. We lift up our prayers for the seniors as well, so they may be strengthened, provided for, protected, and we ask the Lord to bring comfort and peace to them when they feel lonely or afraid. We also pray for those who are struggling with their health, mental well-being, finances, or life in general. May the strength, healing, and comfort of Jesus Christ be upon them all. We do remember Aline and Ken's Bowden's friend who passed away last Wednesday, Helen, that you would continue to strengthen Martin, Helen's husband, and as well as their family. May Christ's peace and comfort and healing strength be upon each and every one of them. Loving God, God of justice and compassion, we humbly plead to you to bring an end to the violence of the ongoing wars in the Middle East between Israel and Hamas, as well as in Ukraine, Russia, Africa, and other parts of the world. We ask that you would move the leaders of Gaza in Israel to come to a mutually agreed immediate ceasefire. Loving God, as families are torn apart in Gaza, as hostages live in fear, as civilians are killed and injured, we lift up our prayers to you. Amid fear and destruction, may they find refuge under the wings of the Most High God. Loving God, that you would pave the way for full and immediate humanitarian access, allowing food, water, and medicine to reach those in need. We also pray for protection and safe release of all individuals who Hamas has taken hostage. And now, God of goodness and grace, we humbly offer our tithes and offerings to you. Please accept and bless them, and may our lives reflect the truth of the gospel. O great God, please hear all our prayers. May the words of our mouths and the thoughts in our hearts be pleasing to you. O God, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we continue with our reading this morning. The first reading is taken from the Old Testament reading, Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true, and righteous altogether. More to be desired are there than gold, in even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. This 148. The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 16 to 23. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. Amen. Thanks be to God.
Well, it's a great privilege and joy for me to be with you at Scots Church this morning and to open Psalm 19 that we read just before. Our human beings are remarkable communicators. In fact, I think we are constant communicators. You only have to think of the many, many words we all speak every day, of constant text messages and emails and words and communication in movies and on the internet and in a thousand other ways. Important messages, trivial messages, powerful messages, beautiful messages. How come we are so communicative? Well, the Bible's answer, I think, would be that we have been made in the image of a communicative God. Right throughout the Bible, God is speaking. The very third verse of the Bible is, "And God said." And all the way through Scripture, God speaks with power. His words are life-giving and life-changing. And his words call for response. We have to say something back in response to what God has said. And what we say back shapes entirely our relationship with God. You might say back nothing, or maybe words of anger, or words of love and adoration. Well, actually, Psalm 19 is about exactly these things. It's about a God who speaks, and it ends with the voice of the psalmist in return. And so I want you to look with me at, first of all, the voice of creation, then the voice of Scripture, and finally the voice of response. First of all, the voice of creation. You perhaps need to imagine David out somewhere in a wilderness place, looking up at night to the night sky, and it's crowded with stars and planets. It's beautiful and beyond searching out. And he says it declares the glory of God. And a little further on, he pictures the sun sweeping across the sky, marching from one end to the other. He says it's like a bridegroom going out on his wedding day, and nothing is going to stop the bridegroom on that day. And all this, David says, is a declaration. The heavens declare, the skies proclaim. Day and night, in every language, this is God's universal sermon. What's God's universal, worldwide, every language sermon about? Well, verse 1 said it, didn't it? The heavens declare the glory of God. Creation is a declaration of the majesty and the power and the immensity of God. A beautiful sunset is a statement about God. A powerful tornado, a gentle dewdrop. All creation is God's sermon, God's proclamation of his glory. And we are meant to see from creation that there must be a God. The Apostle Paul said that in Romans 1, the passage we just read. that in creation, God's invisible qualities are clearly seen. And he says that leaves us without excuse. Everyone should know that there is a God. If you are rummaging around in an old shed at the back of your property and cleaning it out and dusting stuff off, and you stumble across a painting, well, you don't thank the spiders that have made webs all over it. You know that that's not the work of spiders. You know it's the work of an artist. And if we stumble across great artwork, we know it's the work of a great artist. And that's what creation is, the most stunning artwork ever produced. And so we have to listen to the voice of creation. And even if you're caught up in a busy city life or study or professional life and there's a million things going on, God would have us slow down and stop and look and enjoy the beauty of what he's made and then lift our eyes higher and worship him, the God of creation. But here's the thing. People will only hear the message that God's preaching in creation if they've made the transition that this psalm now makes. After six verses about creation, there are five verses about Scripture, about the Word of God. And so we move from the voice of creation to the voice of Scripture. It's interesting to see how David makes that move. He's just been talking about the sun sweeping across the sky. He says at the end of verse 6, nothing is hidden from its heat. And that really is the transition into the Word of God, because nothing is hidden from the light and the warmth and the heat and the searching eye of Scripture. The written Word of God is essential for us, because without it we won't hear the real message of creation. The great theologian and reformer John Calvin said that naturally, we are like bleary-eyed old men who can't see much at all. When we look at creation, we don't really see what it's saying. But then he said, the Scriptures are like spectacles that we put on. And we put on the glasses of Scripture, suddenly we see what we are meant to see. So Scripture does for us what a day at the beach or a day in the mountains cannot do. It opens our eyes to see what God is showing us. Now, you'll have to excuse for a minute the focus on grammar, but there are in these next few verses some wonderful nouns, adjectives, and verbs. We're back to school. First of all, the nouns, the words that name God's word, the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the rules of the Lord. These are all phrases used to describe Torah, the Old Testament law, the first five books of the Bible, that were not just rules and laws, but a story of God's redemption and then commands for how to live in that story and respond to God. And for us, that story is now found in the whole of Scripture. The whole Bible is God speaking to us. Well, what's the Bible like? Difficult? Dusty? Dated? That's certainly not the way David describes it. If you look now at the adjectives, he says the law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is true. He goes on to say it's right, pure, clean, true. How good is that in a world of fake news, a world where there are so many messages that are impure and contaminated or just disturbing and distressing? God speaks words that are true and clean and pure. And so look at what they do. We come to the verbs. It revives the soul, makes wise the simple, rejoices the heart, enlightens the eyes, endures forever, and is righteous altogether. In many ways, those are the very things we all seek, aren't they? We want to have our eyes enlightened. We want our souls revived. We want to be sure and right. Well, where will we go to find those things? Some go to creation itself, thinking that just in nature, apart from God, their soul can be revived. Some look within themselves. Some look to all that's on offer in our world, entertainment and career and success and money. But the Bible offers us a radically different pathway to reviving our soul. And it is the Word of God Himself. His words given to enlighten us and refresh us and renew us. His words given to warn us and reward us, as it says in verse 11. And how we need warning against all that's wrong and dangerous for our souls. And the reward of knowing God Himself and hearing from Him. Well, David actually says there that this is incredibly precious. You notice the two phrases he uses there in verse 10. More to be desired than gold, much gold, sweeter than honey. Now, honey was the sweetest food at the time. This was well before the day of refined white sugar. He says, God's word is sweeter than honey. Gold, the most precious metal. But God's word is more precious than that. If you happen not to be into sweet food, then I'll allow a substitute. God's word is better than pizza and lasagna, savouries. God's word is more precious than your house, your car, your assets. God's word is supremely good because it is good for our soul. So take in God's word. Lick it like honey. Treasure it like gold. Savor it, because this is how God will refresh and renew your soul. But God's word will also seek you out and hunt you down. We see that as we go to the last part of the psalm, where we come to the voice of response. And it's interesting again to see how the psalm is so beautifully constructed. In the first part of the psalm, there was a transition to the second by way of the sun, because nothing is hidden from its heat. And we saw that the word of God is like that. And now that's the transition, because nothing is hidden from the searching light and heat of the word of God. The voice of response begins with the voice of confession. You'll notice what David first says. Who can discern his errors? He's immediately aware that there's all sorts of stuff in his own heart and his own life that even he is not aware of. I know a lovely old lady who talks compulsively. She's delightful, but she just doesn't stop talking. She goes constantly. But I know there's one thing that really frustrates her. It's people who just talk constantly and you can't get a word in. Now, in many ways, we're all so like that, aren't we? We don't see stuff in our own hearts. And so David rightly prays, reveal my heart to me, search out my heart. And you'll notice that he's conscious of different kinds of sins, hidden faults, But also, he says, keep me back from presumptuous sin. There's sin that we didn't mean, unintentional. There's sin that we didn't even know about. But also, is there not this reality? There's the stuff we do wrong and we know it full well. It's presumptuous, it's high-handed. And in Torah, in the Old Testament law, there was provision for sacrifice and forgiveness for unintentional sin, but it said of high-handed, presumptuous sin, that person shall be cut off from God's people. Little wonder then that David says, oh, keep me back from that. And little wonder that he prays things like this, declare me innocent. Keep me back. Make me blameless. How could that be? How can a holy God declare us innocent when we're not? Well, actually, if we go back to the voice of Scripture, we get an answer. We've seen how beautiful the Word of God is, true, clean, pure, right. But that Word became flesh. God sent His own Son as the living Word of God. And so in Jesus Christ, we have a person who's exactly like this description of the Word of God, a person who is perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, true. Jesus Christ, a man whose eyes were enlightened, whose heart rejoiced in the Lord. But then the amazing truth of the gospel is that Jesus, the Word of God, voluntarily took all the baggage and filth of our hidden sins, our unintentional sins, and even our presumptuous sins. And on the cross, He bore the penalty for it all. What mercy and grace. And when we come to know Jesus, we come to know God's glory in a whole new way. Sure, the heavens declare the glory of God. The Word shows us the glory of God. But now in our hearts, through faith in Jesus, we experience the glory of His grace. And so we come to the end of the psalm. David says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. He's offering up the psalm, I think, as an offering to God, but more than that, he's offering up his whole life to God. And here is the real voice of response to what God has said to us in creation and in Scripture and in Jesus. We confess our sin and our desperate need of His grace. We offer up our life to Him and say, Lord, I want my life to be pleasing to You, acceptable in Your sight. And we do those things with this brilliant confession. Lord God, You are my rock. God is the one you can lean on, depend on, rely on. Clean, true, pure, faithful. And in Jesus Christ, He is our Redeemer. I began by saying that our whole world is full of communication. We are compulsive communicators. But the most important communication you engage in is the communication between God and your own soul. Listen to what God is saying in all of creation. Feed on what God is saying in the Scriptures. Believe in Jesus, the Word made flesh. And then, in faith, voice with your own heart. Oh, Lord God, you are my rock and you are my redeemer. Friends, when we do that, then our very lives join with creation and join with Scripture in declaring the glory of God. Let's pray. Our great and glorious God, we thank you that you have made your glory known to us. You've shown us in creation how beautiful you are, how vast and immense. You've spoken to us in Scripture and shown us how good your words are to renew us and restore us. You've spoken most powerfully in your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. And so we respond this morning. Oh God, confess our sins and search out our hearts. Have mercy on us because of Jesus. Help us to offer up our lives to you. And we confess together this morning that you are our rock and you are our Redeemer. And we praise and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are going to respond by lifting up our voices in song, and I invite you to join in singing. Come, people, join and sing.
Friends, we have heard the Word of God read and explained this morning. We have sung God's praises together, and our hearts have been nourished. Please join us for some physical refreshments now in the Westpac building behind me. Just follow the signs outside the church. And if you have been visiting, please do grab a copy of our magazine and take it with you. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.